It's great to be with you on this Wednesday morning, and more importantly, it's great to have this gentleman in studio. You can follow him on Twitter, at WaterTheBamboo, or check out his website, waterthebamboo.com, and he's got a book out that you're going to want to read, and I encourage you to grab it. Go to the website, waterthebamboo.com, and that's the title of the book, and it's former Oregon Duck in studio today, 1 week after the meeting here at Alpha Broadcasting when I had a chance to see him and meet him for the first time. It's Greg Bell. Greg, thanks for your time. It's great to have you in studio.
Oh, my pleasure, Chad. I'm really happy to be here as well.
All right. So you're a local guy. I was talking with Rob Kloss about you. You're a local guy. You went to high school in the area. You also went to the University of Oregon. How have you liked your time in Oregon?
Oh, I love Oregon. Double duck. Went to University of Oregon as a political science major and went to law school down there. And I came back here permanently in 97.
So. That's nice. I was a poli-sci major as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's why I like your show.
It's Greg Bell with us here in studio. So let's start out. Water the Bamboo. I know that there's so much that goes into it, but talk about Water the Bamboo. How did you get to the point where you're writing a book about Water the Bamboo? And it started back in a small town in Texas. What was the name of that town?
San Augustine, Texas. And Chad, if you've ever heard of it, we're probably related. There's only 2,400 people and a goat in that town. And I lived there with my grandfather, who I credit with a lot of the wisdom I write about and think about. My grandfather was a wisdom keeper. He died in 1996, but he's in the studio right now. He was an amazing, amazing farmer himself. A subsistence farmer. We lived in a really small shack, and in fact, there was no indoor plumbing, and that also means there was no outdoor plumbing. So we were poor by any sort of stretch of the imagination, but very rich because of his wisdom. So
that's fantastic. I was just talking with you before the segment started about, you know, relationships and some of the key people in our lives. And I had exactly what you had. I had a couple of grandparents, grandfathers who I would spend time with doing different things when I was younger. But the little, you know, nuggets of wisdom that they share with you, that you grab on as a youngster, that you carry and take with you throughout the rest of your life, is pretty powerful, because those words will pop back up inside of your mind or in your heart when you need it most.
Yeah, you're right. I think my grandfather continues to teach me from that perspective, just all the wisdom and all the ideas. And part of the reason I started doing the speaking was really as a result of his leadership. He always told me to be a leader. Even when I was 3 years old, he says, you've got to be a leader and help people as much as you can.
What was his definition of a leader?
Well, I think his definition of a leader, I sort of would say, is more about your actions, not your words. Like, mm-hmm. He would also think that, you know, virtue is his own reward in terms of leadership. It's not your position necessarily. It's actually what you do in your behavior.
Yeah, that makes sense. In fact, that's what I remember most, or when I think of my dad, who's still alive. But when I think about my dad, it's always been his actions, not what he says, but the quiet way he goes about handling his business. And I think that that's sometimes what a leader is all about, doing the right things day in and day out and setting that example.
Right. And being vulnerable, too. You know, it's okay to make mistakes, but, you know, step up and take responsibility as well.
Yeah. And that's something I think that we all have a difficulty with. Sometimes it's hard to admit, hey, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is that if I can admit that I'm wrong and be willing to say I'm not the man, and you can go to people and apologize and mend those relationships, it helps.
Absolutely. I believe it's the relationship age. A lot of people are in the information age, but I think relationships will get the results that you want in your life. If we sort of think back in our lives when we've had success, or even when we haven't, it's probably based on our relationships.
It's Greg Bell with us here in studio. Check out the website, waterthebamboo.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at waterthebamboo. Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Greg. I didn't even know that there was a such thing as a bamboo farmer until you came and spoke at our company meeting last week.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, Water the Bamboo is not just a brand or a book. I think it's a philosophy. It was conceived as a book for business leaders. I do a lot of work with business leaders and their teams. But I really conceived of this idea as a philosophy to help people think about their lives in a different way. Giant timber bamboo is a very fascinating plant. Bamboo farmers will take the seed and bury it 6 feet deep, and they'll water it for years before they see any growth. 1 year watering, nothing. 2 years, nothing. 3 years, sometimes up to 4, 5, 6, even 7 years before they see any growth. But once it touches the surface, it'll grow over 90 feet in 60 days. I'm a student of success, and what I found is that people who are successful, they water the bamboo. They show up every single day without seeing any results, and then one day they grow 90 feet in 60 days, much like Jeremy Lin, for instance. I mean, think about that kid. He is, everybody knows who he is in sports right now, but we never saw him in the gym working out. And I'm sure doubt creeped in and all kinds of things, but he kept showing up, and in an overnight success, if you will. But it took him a lot of nights to become an overnight success.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you plant the bamboo seed, and then you water it. And you may not see anything, any sign of growth for up to 4 years.
Right.
Well,
right.
That takes a little bit of patience, doesn't it?
Well, it takes a lot of patience. But I always tell people, though, sort of you think about it, you can actually plant something on top. You know, maybe it's a part-time job. Maybe it's something else. The bamboo's your dream and your hope. But you got to, you know, a lot of times I think people can do things in the meantime to keep their thing going, whatever it might be. You may be a barista at Starbucks, but at night you're working on your music or whatever it might be, whatever your hope, whatever your dream might be. I think it's important to sort of, you know, eat in the meantime, if you will. But I think we got to take those in the meantime jobs, those in the meantime positions, and really water those too, because there's all kinds of learning in that as well.
That's interesting. It's Greg Bell with us here in the in studio. Yeah, because you made another point too, and this is something I think it's important for a lot of different areas of our life. But that whole watering process, you know, trusting the process, trusting you know, the principles that are in place, because you know if you water and you're patient and you manicure and do all the things you need to do, that eventually you'll have growth, and that can come in any aspect or any area of your life.
Absolutely. I mean, I've experienced it in my own life. So I think that so have my clients. I think it's so important to sort of keep showing up every day. A lot of times the difference between success and failure often is people quit 3 inches before the bamboo's about to shoot up. I just say, don't quit before the miracle. Keep showing up, and you never know when it's going to grow.
It's Greg Bell with us here in studio. I think that's interesting. Now, you mentioned to me that you're a family guy, number one. So you water, you know, when you talk about taking care of your bamboo, watering your bamboo, you spend time with the family. It could come time in building those relationships.
Absolutely. Relationships are so important to all of us. I think that in terms of our family, for me, it's a strong value. I think we start with values. If you start with your values, and water those, because sometimes there's a gap between what I say I value and how I live, but we have to mine that gap. Keep mining that gap. Keep showing up for your family, your friends, whatever you say is your value. Don't let people tell you what they are. But giant timber bamboo is even more interesting because of its roots. Giant timber bamboo roots will grow over 100 yards, and your roots are your bamboo. So handling that is important, nurturing those things. But you also got to weed that garden too. Sometimes there's things in there that aren't serving you, aren't serving your company, aren't serving your community. We need to get rid of them.
You know what's interesting with your book is that you started doing your speaking, and you would get people that would approach you and say, well, where's the book? And yeah, you'd be like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Talk about that. I mean, how did it come to be? Because it had to been, you've carried this stuff around inside of you, and you've talked about it, and you've understood the philosophy of water the bamboo, but to finally put it onto paper, what was that process like?
Well, that was really challenging, because I would do speeches all over the country, and after every speech, someone would say, where's your book? And I'm thinking, well, in my library? What are you talking about? I didn't have any idea what they're talking about. But then a woman after a program explained to me, she says, you know, people want a piece of you. They want some of this wisdom for themselves. And took me maybe 4 or 5 years to write this book. I spent a lot of time, you know, I get up at 4 a.m. and write and then go out and work. So I was watering my bamboo in that sense. And I had no idea what would happen with it. But I think that part of the book is I wanted to give people a game plan. I mean, a lot of people go to games and sit in audiences and, you know, if the coach shows up without a game plan, you'd be pretty upset about it. My idea was to give people a personal game plan for their lives and their businesses. And that's what Water the Bamboo. It's 21 steps for people to sort of have a game plan for their life. Figure out your values, your vision, your goals, understand how to deal in relationships, have courage in doing that, and having belief in what you're up to.
All right, Greg Bell's in studio. If you want to jump in, if you have a question for Greg, you can call at 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750. You can text at 70491. Coming up next, we're going to talk about something that I took away from the meeting last week, and we'll talk to him about it, and I think it's something we can all learn from. You know, the power of your thoughts. I want you to think about that. The things that you think about when you wake up and when you lie down in bed at night, and how that can really, you know, kind of set a direction for you. We'll talk about that. Greg Bell is in studio. You can follow him on Twitter at WaterTheBamboo. And also check out the website, waterthebamboo.com. More of Greg Bell is coming up next. If you want to jump in, 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750. All right, back. Morning Sports Page 750, the game. Greg Bell, author and tremendous speakers in studio today, Water the Bamboo. And we were just talking about this. You know, you made a good point in the meeting last week, and I wanted to ask you about this because I think it's something that we can all utilize in our lives. But you talked about the importance of kind of setting the tone in your mind, you know, and like the eyes are the gateway to our hearts, you know, our thoughts largely determine who we are, you know, because those are what we fixate on. Those are what we think about. And obviously it will set a direction which will lead to a destination in our life. Talk about that, the importance of what we should think about when we wake up and the things we should think about as we lie down at night. You made a good point on this, and I want you to talk about that because I think we can all learn from that.
I think the two most critical times of your day are when you wake up and when you go to sleep. When you wake up, it sets the tone for the day. I ask myself this question every single day before I let my feet hit the ground. What's going well? Even on my worst day, I can find something going well in my life.
Even on a bad day, a day when things are just going sideways, you can find something positive to focus on.
Absolutely. I think that's so important for me to sort of before I, you know, let my feet hit the ground. And at night, I ask myself, what went well? Because I want to have great days and great dreams. Because language is so important. How we speak, what we think are so important. So I ask myself these questions, what's going well? And I think everyone can ask themselves that question and find something going well in their life. Even the most negative person in the world can find something going well. You know, I woke up so I can complain, whatever it might be. But asking yourself this question, well, what it does is it helps me have the right language, the right thinking, the right belief, and I can take the right actions around those. Asking what's going well is one of those powerful, powerful questions. Psychologists suggest that the average person has over 60,000 thoughts a day.
60,000?
60,000.
I didn't even know I was capable of such activity.
Oh, for you, probably 100,000, Jack. But 60,000 thoughts a day, but unfortunately, 75% of those thoughts are negative. And you think about that for a moment.
But why is that? Why so much negative thought that rolls through our minds?
Well, I think the reason a lot of people have negative thoughts roll through their mind is we haven't been taught, actually, how to have positive thoughts. We are problem solvers. We focus on the problems and we criticize. You know, critics are paid. You know, you think about that.
It's true.
And I've never seen a statue of a critic. Ever. You know, so I think that when you think about this, we need to train ourselves the other way. What's going well is a start of that. Because if you look at successful people, like let's take a Roger Bannister, for instance, breaks the 4-minute mile in 1954. Think about him training to break that 4-minute mile. What was his language like?
And he was the first person to do that, right?
First person to break the recorded 4-minute mile. And what's interesting about him, when he was training to do that, what was his language like? What was he thinking to himself? I'm sure his self-talk was, I can do it. I know I can. I know I will. And he trained and he trained. And when he did it, what was interesting, he changed the language for everyone because hundreds of people have done it since.
Well, not just what his thought process was going through that training period when he was trying to do something no one had done before to break a 4-minute mile, but what about all the people who were telling him what he couldn't do and that it was impossible?
Well, yeah.
Because it was thought that it was not even possible at that time, right?
Absolutely. I mean, all the science, all the research that it can be done, it's sort of like the Ducks winning the Rose Bowl. Can't be done, right? You know, lo and behold, you know, I think that if you sort of think about that in sports, think about it in life, think about it in business, there's always a great idea, I always think, is met with, it won't work. It's always met with that. In fact, it's not a great idea if it's not met with that. And I think that if you think about successful people, what they do is they overcome this through working on their language. I can do it. It will happen. They create the thoughts. They create the beliefs. And they take the actions to make it true. All great change happens that way.
That's interesting. You know, when you think about, well, my biggest problem is this, and you talked about how, you know, when you're in your car, the windshield, because you're moving forward and you got to know where you're going, is much bigger than the rearview mirror. But one of my biggest weaknesses in life is I tend to focus on the past too much at times, and I think about my past failures or my mistakes or things that I've done where I've wronged people, and I carry that guilt or that shame around with me where I'm thinking too much about the past instead of focusing on where I'm going.
Absolutely.
And I get trapped in that negative train of thought that you were talking about sometimes.
Absolutely.
How do I break myself from that?
Well, I think one of the things to do is I think don't feel guilty about being guilty, first of all. And also, I think there's two things that you have to think about. People who have fear, what they're thinking about is something in the future. You know, it's a future evidence, if you will. And then there's guilt. It's making you think about the past. If you have either of those feelings, it just means you're not being present. You're not handling right where you are. What I really think is really important for all of us to think about is handle the 3 feet you're in. Handle right where you are. If you think too big, too far in the future, too far in the past, you're not handling right where you are.
Well, that makes sense. No, that's good. These are things that as I go through each and every day, especially as you get older and you got more responsibilities and things going on, it's hard to keep track of that. But I've noticed that you talked about having good dreams. A lot of times if I go to bed with negative thoughts, then I know I'm not resting peacefully because my mind is racing, even as I'm asleep, focusing on those negative thoughts or the stressors in my life, and it prevents me from being able to rest peacefully.
Absolutely. The mind is a thought factory. It just continues to produce thoughts after thought. What I suggest people do is to get out of their own way and control what the factory produces. And one way to control what the factory produces is ask yourself better questions. Great questions will give you great answers. Bad questions, bad answers.
Give me an example of a good question.
A great question is, what's important now? Ask yourself, what's important right now? What's important now? And that's W-I-N. That's how you win. That's, you know, Chip Kelly uses that term, win the day.
Uh-huh.
I say, what's important now? We have to deal with what's important now and take responsibility for that. And if I can deal with what's important now, that's quite powerful.
Now, give me an example of a common negative thought or a negative question that people have.
Well, sometimes it's really simple, you know, if you sort of think about it, say, how's it going? And people will just automatically go to a negative place.
Well, what I've started doing, when people ask me how it's going, I give them an honest answer. So if it's going well, they're going to hear about it. And if it's going bad, I just tell them too.
Right. I think one of the things that I would say is just ask people in your life, ask them what's going well, and it'll shift them. They'll look at you a little funny, like, what did you just ask me? But ask them what's going well. But a lot of times we can bond over negativity. You know, we really can. As a culture, people bond over negativity. If I saw you at the coffee shop and I say, God, you know, the economy's really bad, isn't it, Chad? You'd sort of chime in and we just bond over that. But if I came up to you and said, what are your hopes and your dreams for your life? You'd look at me like I was a freak.
Pretty much, yeah. I'd be like, what are you talking about, G?
Yeah, exactly. So what I say is we need to shift that a little bit. All of us have this kind of power. I think that's a leadership question. And one of the things, you know, you ask about questions that we can ask ourselves. I ask myself this question as well. What should I stop doing? What should I stop doing? I mean, sometimes if you think about this, we all have to-do lists. But I say create a not-do list. There's some things we're doing in our lives that aren't helping us that we should stop doing. And for me, I think that's really quite powerful when you think about this do not do list, because you only have so much time, so much money, and so much energy. And I say put your time, your money, your energy into your bamboo, into that dream of yours, that thing you really are after. That way we don't have to waste our time and energy.
No, that makes sense. And if you think about it, too, I mean, the world is, it's a big place. There's a lot of good things in the world. There's a lot of bad things. But being able to have that no-no list, or to identify the things in your life that are not good or that are not producing fruit, to be able to say goodbye to those things.
Right.
I think that's important for all of us, right?
Yeah, and it's challenging too. I mean, because there's so many flirts and
distractions. We get bombarded all the time.
Yes. Tons of flirts and distractions. But part of this part of setting what your bamboo is and your dream is, a lot of folks are walking around with, I don't know what my bamboo is. And that makes sense because it can be challenging. Life can be challenging. I get that. But if we sort of think about what our dreams are, for me, then we can really focus and have purpose in our lives. That's really part of Water the Bamboo and part of the book, is identifying what your values are, identifying what your dreams are, and being able to focus on those. Because sometimes while you're watering your bamboo, people are going to tell you it's not going to work. And what you tell those people is to mind their own bamboo. And we need to get out of our own way.
That's fantastic. Greg Bell's here in studio. How long did you play? Not how long, but what years did you play for the Ducks basketball-wise?
81 to 85. I call it the dark years of Oregon basketball. I had Jim Haney was my coach, and also Don Munson.
So. Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, Don Munson.
Yeah, I had Don Munson.
He's a legend.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And you have a good relationship with Mark Few as well.
Yeah, he was a roommate of mine in college. Mark Few, he wrote the foreword on my book, and I really, really appreciated that. In fact, they just lost in the WCC tournament, and I just texted him, bounce back. Maybe they'll get a run in the tournament. So
that's nice. Greg Bell's here in studio. Coming up next, we're going to talk about how the Oregon Ducks, the football team, Chip Kelly, there's a story about how he got a hold of the book, and Greg will share that story and a lot of other things, including the three middle names of his daughters, Grace, Hope, and Joy. We'll have him explain that as well. A lot of good things coming up. If you want to jump in, 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll get to your phone calls next. More with Greg Bell. Check out the website, waterthebamboo.com. And the book is out. You've got to get a hold of a copy. And I'll give away a few of those here at the end of the program. Water the Bamboo, Unleashing the Potential of Teams and Individuals. And, Greg, if there's business owners or companies out there listening that want to get you involved or to have you come in and speak, you're available for that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Let me know. Thanks, Jack.
All right. We'll step aside for a timeout, and then we're back. More with Greg Bell right here on Sports Radio 750, The Game. All right, Pack, Morning Sports Page 750 The Game. Greg Bell is in studio, waterthebamboo.com, and you can follow him on Twitter, like I am, at waterthebamboo. Let's go to the phones right now. Lathan was kind enough to hold through the break. Lathan, good morning. You're in the Morning Sports Page with Greg Bell. Fire away.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, Lathan.
Hey, it's been a long time. I just wanted to, I heard you and haven't seen from you in a long time. Just wanted to say congratulations and know that you're doing good.
Oh, man, this is Lathan Wallace?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You know you've always been like a big brother to me, man.
Oh, man. Wow. I like that. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, man. Hope you're doing well as well.
Yeah, I am, man. We got to get in contact with you, man, and just sit down and talk again, man.
Love that. Love that. Let me buy you a cup of tea.
All
right,
sounds good.
Okay.
All right, there's Lathan Wallace, a friend of yours?
Yeah, like when I moved here many years ago, Lathan and I just sort of hung out in inner Northeast together. He's just a good buddy of mine, so that's fascinating. His son played at Oregon State. I think he just graduated about three or four years ago. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, yeah. Small world.
Yeah.
Hey, before I get to the Oregon Ducks football team and the impact the book had on them, I wanted to ask you about this. We were continuing the thought process on being able to identify things that are good in your life, bad in your life, things you need to get rid of, but also you made this point, you know, starting things that we're not currently doing that should be a part of our life. How do you identify some of those things?
Well, for me, I think it's really interesting. I think everyone can be their own counsel in some ways. If you ask yourself, what should I stop doing? What should I continue to do? Because we're all doing some things that are really good for us. But also we should ask ourselves, what should we start doing? Whether that's simple, like taking your vitamins or drinking more water or mm-hmm. whatever it might be, it could be that way. But if you sort of thought about those three questions, what should I stop? What should I continue and what should I start? Those are important. And as we sort of talked about at the break, it's a continuous evaluation. Everything needs maintenance, by the way. If you love it, it needs maintenance. Everything needs maintenance. And we all have to sort of keep putting that time and putting that work in. I think a lot of times one of the worst things that can happen to a person is success. Because then we sort of sit back on our laurels or regression to the mean, if you will. But I think we all have to sort of keep maintaining ourselves and keep going. There's no question. But those three questions can help people figure out what should they, you know, stop, start, and continue.
All right. So I've talked to a number of Oregon Ducks. In fact, earlier this week, I had a conversation with LaMichael James. He referenced your book, Water the Bamboo. And the funny part is you tell me that Chip Kelly at first, he didn't want anything to do with your book. He's like, what is this garbage?
Yeah, exactly. I did some leadership training down in Eugene, and somehow one of his coaches gave him a copy of the book after the Boise State game when they lost. I mean, think about it. Chip Kelly's first game out of the blocks, they lose. And the guy that was given him the book was, I think it was like a grad assistant or something, and he liked fiction or whatever. And Chip Kelly says, I don't want to read anything you're going to give me. He goes, no, coach, we need this book. You got to read it. And he gave it to him, and you know, the rest is history in terms of them adopting the philosophy and talking about it.
That's fantastic. And so now, you know, what's it like when you hear, I mean, because really, like we talked about some of the principles from the book and Water the Bamboo, it can be applied to so many different things. But a football field, and you played sports, you understand that. There's a lot of teamwork, a lot of trust, a lot of different things going on in the field that guys need to follow in order to have success.
Absolutely. And I'm just so tickled that Chip and the team and everyone sort of dove into the book, and I had a chance to talk to the team in terms of that, you know, Water the Bamboo and its philosophy. What's interesting for me is I was already doing the work with my clients, business clients, and to see it show up on the field in that way, you know, going from losing the Boise State game to the Rose Bowl that year with only one player on the all Pac-10 team. And I thought that was fascinating in terms of that. And even look at LaMichael James, he wasn't sort of the big time back coming out. In fact,
that year, if it hadn't have been for the LeGarrette Blount suspension, we may not have even known who LaMichael was.
Absolutely. And I think that he is a great example of Water the Bamboo. I mean, that kid works. He puts in the work. And if you've ever gone to a Duck practice, and actually, I don't think we can do that anymore, but I've gone to a few, and it's amazing.
I think you can. I don't think Greg Bell's got an issue getting into practice. Come on now.
Well, I think that it's just a fascinating thing. It's really an example of Water the Bamboo in which you practice like you play. And Chip Kelly and his team and his coaches, they practice. I mean, it is one of the most amazing things you've ever seen. I know you prepare for your shows, you prepare for your work, and that practice shows up in the show. And so when you think about it, for all of us, we can sort of use some of those principles and practice, I guess in that Iverson clip, you recall that?
I'm talking about practice.
Absolutely, I'm talking about practice. In fact, one of the chapters of my book is called Deliberate Practice. And it's really about putting in the time and the energy into your success. Because if you think about whether it's basketball, whether it's doing a speech, whether it's doing a show, whatever you're doing, if you want to go from poor to good, you got to put in about 10,000 hours. If you want to go from good to great, you got to put in 10,000 more hours of really diligent practice.
That's fantastic. So 10,000. So what is the number then? 10,000?
10,000 hours. 10,000 hours is sort of the marquee number. When you sort of study, there's a psychologist, Erickson, that sort of looked at this. And what they found is if people put in 3 hours a day for 10 years or 7 years or whatever it might be, with really good coaching, they'll probably be pretty successful at what they're doing. When I study successful people, that was the number. Gladwell talks about this a lot in his book as well. But I think that if you sort of think about that, like I said earlier, the Ducks, they didn't just show up at the Rose Bowl. They were putting in time and energy. Well, Michael James has put in a lot of time and energy in terms of his own success, even before coming to Oregon. That kid's been playing football since he's, 9 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of energy and a lot of time to be that successful.
Wow. It's Greg Bell with us here in studio as we continue to discuss his book, Water the Bamboo. All right. So you have three daughters. What's that like?
Oh, it's fun. My daughters are Grace, Hope, and Joy. In fact, Sophia, she asked me to say her name on the radio. So hi, Sophia. it's fun. Now they're just, involved in sports. So I'm sitting watching a lot of sports. And my youngest, she's now trying to play basketball. I was trying to drag her in the gym, but finally she's doing it this year. So it's really fun.
Why'd you go with Grace, Hope, and Joy?
Well, I think that for me, I think the word grace, you think about it, it's gratitude. We got to all have gratitude in our lives. And also hope. Hope is important because for all of us, we have to be hopeful for tomorrow, for our future, for whatever we're up to. And also joy. I always tell people they need to water with grace, hope, and joy. And if we all watered with grace, hope, and joy, it'd be really helpful. When you put in the work and the time and the energy into your life, a lot of times I say, when I talk about water the bamboo, sometimes people think it's like hard work. No. You got to do it with grace, hope, and joy. Show up joyfully.
A little finesse.
What's that?
It's a little finesse almost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's important. For the kids, it's important for them to sort of live that. If they can live up to their name, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Now, talk about your potato bug story.
Oh,
you shared that at the
funny.
Meeting. I love it. Talk about the potato bug.
Yeah. Actually, Chad, you just cost me $2. So every time I tell this story, I got a commission to my daughter.
That's good. What about when I replay it on air? Is it another $2? I'll just keep replaying that bad boy every day.
Oh, no. She's going to be, I'm going to be in debt. But, my young daughter, I've been traveling in Los Angeles for, about a week, doing speeches and that. And I came back to her, and she's like 2 years old at the time. And I came back to her, and I'm a family guy, so I wanted to, spend time with them, the kids and that. But she said to me, I said to her, Sophia, whatever you want to do for the next 20 minutes, Daddy's going to do it with you. Whatever you want to do.
So and 20 minutes, she has the entire world then.
Yeah,
that's
right,
awesome.
Right. So what I did was I said, hey, whatever you want to do. And she says to me, she says, Daddy, I want to go outside and find some bugs. So we go to the side yard to find bugs, and we're digging around for bugs, and I'm rolling rocks over for her. And, she's getting all kinds of bugs in that. And she sees her very first potato bug, loses her mind about it. She's all excited about this potato bug. And she says, Daddy, what's that? I said, honey, that's a potato bug. She's like, can you eat it? I'm going, no, you can't eat that bug. Anyway, so she's playing around with it. 20 minutes later, I say, hey, honey, we got to go inside. So we go inside and we come down to dinner. And you know what she's talking about?
The potato bug.
Potato bug. And till this day, she's 7 years old now. She'll still talk about the potato bug. And I only spent 20 minutes with her. What I'm getting at here is that it doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes some time. It takes a little bit of watering. And, it's like I took her to Disneyland or something. But I think we need to take those times, the relationships that are really important to us, and spend quality time with the people, listen to them, that are in your life.
Yeah, see, I get hung up in that all the time where I'm like, well, I'm just too busy, or I've got to get ready for the show. I make excuses for why I shouldn't give my time to others sometimes, and I hate it when I do that because we can always make time for what's important to us, right?
Absolutely. I think that's great because if you think about this just for a little bit, we don't try to hit a home run. Just get a base hit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit of water.
Just a little base hit.
Right.
Get on base.
Right.
Make something happen.
Don't drown the bamboo. It's water the bamboo.
That's fantastic. What was it you said about your basketball game? Rob told me you were the most inspirational player on your squad. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I was.
I find that hard to believe.
Boy, thank you.
No, it's perfect. It's a perfect fit for you. But did you enjoy playing basketball?
Oh,
that setup?
Loved it. Loved it. In fact, I just retired about 6 months ago. Me and Brandon, we hung them up.
Shut it down?
Yeah.
All right, Greg Bell's in studio. We'll come back with another segment with him. If you want to jump in and ask him a question, you can do so. 503-417-7575. Greg Bell, more with him coming up next on The Game. All right, back. Morning Sports Page 750. The Game in studio is Greg Bell. Let's go to the phones right now. We've got Bruce on hold who has a question for Greg. What's up, Bruce? Fire away.
Yeah, good morning. Great words of wisdom, Greg. I've read Outliers. That's a great book. I'm going to have to go get a copy of your book also. Greg, one thing, you know, a lot of people in life, they seem to do things to please other people or for other people rather than doing things that they're truly passionate about, you know, and at what point the person, you know, say, you know, why am I doing this for other people when I should be doing something for myself, you know what I mean? It's like, when do you change course? At what point and how do you go about doing that?
Well, I think that, Bruce, I think that's a really good question and can be difficult to answer, like specifically for anyone. But one of the things I would say to you in terms of that is sometimes when you're thinking about your dream, your thing you want to do, I wouldn't say share it necessarily with everyone around you because sometimes the closest people near you will sort of kill your dream. But in my book, I talk about this concept of a bamboo circle. Your bamboo circle is a group that will support you and you support them. And as I talk about giant timber bamboo, its roots will connect deeply under the ground. And so when I think about my bamboo circle, my inner circle, the people that I really trust, they'll give me feedback. They'll give me feedback that I may not even like to hear. They'll actually support me. Those relationships will get me the results I want. When you think about your life, Bruce, I want you to think about, well, who's in my bamboo circle and who can help me, who can support me? And those relationships will take you through all kinds of challenging times that'll sort of come up as you sort of go for it. But I think that people will also, you know, put you down. You know, I say crabs in a bucket never get out. And so when you're coming up with a different idea or a different way of living, a different way of sort of doing things, there will be resistance. There just will be. So just kind of be okay with that. But just make sure you listen to that resistance, listen to the sort of the negativity, but still continue to water quietly in terms of what you're trying to do. And all of us, everybody listening here, all of us, me included, we're all going to be exactly the same in the next 3 or 4 years, but for the books we read or the people we hang out with. Be careful what you put in your mind, your body, and your spirit. And make sure it's about your bamboo.
You got that, right, Bruce?
I do. You know, again, great words of wisdom, and it's nice to mix it up every now and then. Chad, keep up the good work.
I appreciate it, Bruce. Thank you. Yeah, I just got a text message. All it says is, this guy is freaking smart. Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, can you tell my wife that? Can you send that to her?
No, I cannot get involved in your marital relations, but I can tell you this much. What I've learned is that what I don't know, somebody else does. So I get people like you to come in and just polish up the show a little bit. I like that.
Oh, man, that's very kind. Sometimes people do give up on their dreams too early. And that's what I said earlier about water the bamboo is really, I mean, think about it. Giant timber bamboo grows 90 feet in 60 days. 90 feet in 60 days. It's remarkable. But it needs a steward. It needs somebody to help it out. And all of us can be bamboo farmers in our life. Do not quit before the miracle. Sometimes the difference between success and failure often is people just quitting on the dream. It's 3 inches away. It's about to happen. And we walk away from it thinking it's not going to work. But unfortunately, a little bit of doubt, John, can ruin our effort. We can just sort of quit. And I don't think people should quit. I mean, people were born miracles. All of us were born miracles. We should treat ourselves that way. Treat our dreams that way. Keep going for it in your life. No matter what noise is going on around you, keep watering, keep watering, keep watering.
I remember that point that you made of all the billions of people that have walked on the planet. Like, you and I are unique to ourselves.
Absolutely. There's 90 billion people have walked the face of the earth, and none of them with your eyes, none of them with your genius, none of them with your dreams, none of them with your hopes. And one of the things that's interesting about this idea is it's actually a miracle to be a human. It's absolutely a miracle, and we should honor that miracle. We should honor it in a way that really puts in the effort towards our dreams and our hopes in our lives. And that's really, to me, what Water the Bamboo is all about.
All right, so we're getting a lot of questions about where's the best place to buy the book for people that want to purchase it. Is it the website, waterthebamboo.com, or where's the best place for people to go to buy the book?
They can get it ebook. They can go to waterthebamboo.com. They can go to amazon.com. They can go to Powell's. They can go, go to the site, waterthebamboo.com. Absolutely.
All right, 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750. If you still got a couple of minutes, if you want to jump in, you got a question for Greg, you can do so. Is there anything that you would like to get out before the end of the program, or any other point that you maybe missed on that you were thinking about?
Well, my hope is that everybody listening, everyone sort of taking in this program would just focus on a couple things and just remember that you're a miracle. Just remember that. And remember that you should clear your mind. Clear your mind. Get a clear mind. Take care of your body and follow your heart. Follow it. Follow it no matter what. Keep watering. I mean, life is short. We need to take care of ourselves, take care of the people around us. And it's really that simple of a message.
All right. So you ask how I got the name Chaz. Do you want to know?
Oh, I do.
All right. Let me give you a couple of examples. SEC guy, and he claims to be a doctor. He's from Alabama, and he loves SEC football. He thinks the SEC is superior to all other conferences, right?
Oh, my.
Well, here he is talking about LaMichael James, biblical names, and the Pac-12. Check this out.
LaMichael James, that gets me to my point. Could you guys stick with biblical names? I'm tired of the Michael, LaMichael, Jaquizz, and I'm tired of all this. You know what we have in Bama? Trent and Mark. Number one, number two, that's it.
All right, there you go. That's his take on biblical names. And here he is talking about, I asked him about, he just says that Chaz doesn't check out.
Trust me, I've seen Chaz on the internet, and he don't check out.
Now, I called him up once in Bama before Christmas. This is what he had to say.
So it seems like everything here is going fine. How are you doing, Chaz?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. And that's right, Christ in Christmas. Sorry, Oregon, I know you want to take it out, but it's still there.
There he is. He's crazy, man. You can't beat that.
So I'd be okay with Grace, Hope, and Joy with that guy. Huh?
Yeah, Grace, Hope, and Joy. But because you played in the Pac-12, he would consider you to be, he would be suspicious. All right, he would be suspicious of you.
Oh, I think Chip's cooking up something for SEC guy.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. That would be good stuff. All right, Greg Bell is in studio. Hey, Greg, thank you so much for your time today. I hope we could do this again.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to.